Travis's are not a good hold because I believe the replica market is so prevalent on them.
I was a part of that replica market.
For real? You were flipping reps?
Yeah.
Dude,
that was so easy. It was the ones.
Don't admit that.
Well, I don't care. It was a money jig.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Travis ones are hard to find.
Were you doing it on StockX?
Yeah. No. It's not my fault.
The Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast is motivated by spite. Welcome to episode 32 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. I am your host, Sock Jig. You can follow me on Twitter at Sock Jig and on Instagram as well. This is an emergency podcast, so we'll be skipping the usual format and get right into the main topic of Nike escalating their feud with StockX. Some stuff I'll cover in this episode. I'll recap the timeline of events of what happened and Nike's response and StockX's response. And, you know, ask some questions like, you know, how did Nike get those fakes from StockX? I'll also look into, like, you know, how StockX is viewed by both customers and resellers, because depending on who you are, you might have a very different view of StockX. And, well, you know, we'll get into a little bit about the fakes and stuff as well, too. And I asked for calls on Twitter, and I got a couple of calls in, so I'll sprinkle them throughout the show. And then finally, I'll just give my overall thoughts. Some warnings, though. I'm not going to cover everything. A lot of people have made some really good points. It's worth seeking them out. I can't cover everything on this, so I'm not trying to. I'm also not going to get into the weeds. I'm not going to get into, like, you know, the merits of StockX and if they're actually good or bad. I will talk about it in specific examples, but I'm not going to go on and on about each one. You know, that can be their own topics, really. Same with fakes. You can have hours-long discussions about fakes. So I will only touch on it. Okay, with that said, let's go. So as you may know, the big news this week was Nike escalating their feud with StockX, saying that the site is selling fake shoes. This was first reported by Bloomberg News that Nike has included claims of both counterfeiting and false advertising for allegedly selling fake Nikes to Nike while claiming that they're, you know, quote, 100% verified authentic through its proprietary process. The big claim in the article, or in the claim lawsuit thing, is that Nike themselves bought four fakes from StockX in 2 months between December and January. They say there was four fakes, but the only shoe that they actually say is the patent bred one. The claim also updates some of their NFT stuff, like, you know, it adds a claim that the shoes, and therefore in the StockX vault, the NFT vault, can be fake. And they talk about their, you know, their monolith, Evo skin, Sega Genesis NFTs, whatever they are. And they want damages of $2 million per counterfeit mark. Also of note, it was Bloomberg News that reported this, that, you know, noticed the updated filing, and it was not complex. So I guess they were at Carbone that night. You know, when a story like this comes out, it's always a fun time on Twitter. And, you know, my instincts are always just to get some jokes off. You know, I had some initial thoughts, but I held off on, you know, most of the kind of deeper critical thinking that I'll do on this. So I could post jokes. And I was like, you know, I can do my critical thinking on the podcast. But right now is the time for memes and jokes. And of course, my first thought was to think of that the knee shot video from GFNF that is the cold open of this episode. And he very casually tells you how easy it was to sell fake Travis 1s on StockX. And in that episode, you know, he kind of passes the blame on StockX. He's like, you know, they're the ones who are supposed to do the check. It's not on me. You know, but whatever. That's its own kind of ethical quagmire. But just a sidebar on this, there was, you know, I had this sort of viral tweet, you know, not really viral, it was like 2,000 likes or something like that, where, you know, I just thought, you know, it'd be hilarious if StockX's response was just the standard customer service response that you see on Twitter every day. So really, I just went to the Twitter, I checked replies, and the second one was basically perfect. And I screenshotted it, and I said, you know, this is StockX's response. I made some other jokes on there. You know, one of them got picked up by Nice Kicks, and, you know, they're nice enough to tag me on Instagram and stuff like that. Anyways, it was a fun night. We all had some good laughs and jokes that night. The next day, I woke up at 7 a.m. PST on the West Coast here, and people were tagging me that Private Selection had posted my same tweet about, you know, the StockX customer service response. And Private Selection has been in the news a little bit. They're a consignment or, you know, just a resale shop in LA. And they've been posting videos of that one eBay authenticator. And they've gotten some, you know, early samples and early shoes, like the green off-white Air Force Ones and stuff. Anyways, so I woke up to all this and I could see people were tagging me and also tagging them, letting them know that it was actually my joke. And I do appreciate everyone who was looking out and tried to tag me. And, you know, I saw right away that the screenshot was different. It was, you know, mine was in dark mode. That one was in light mode. And Private Selection themselves responded that they basically just got it from someone on Instagram, Sneaker Strawberry or something like that. And whoever runs their account basically recreated the post and made it in light mode. Basically, they went to the same StockX, found the same reply, and in light mode made the same screenshot. So, you know, whatever. But, you know, the point I'm in this sidebar is I knew that Private Selection did nothing wrong. And, you know, they saw something funny on Instagram and reposted it. And so they didn't follow me, so they didn't see my tweet. And, you know, it's impossible to see every tweet. And it is possible to come to the same joke at the same time. But that one, you know, where they had the same exact same wording in light mode, whoever that was on Instagram, you know, they know what they were doing there. But, you know, that's Twitter. You know, tweets get reposted every day, B. And, you know, I'm not going to get too mad about it. Maybe a past version of me would have been all mad about it. But that's not me right now, especially, you know, when I'm like half awake at 7 a.m. And I can tell when there's malice and when there's no malice. So as I just kind of responded with humor. And humor kind of diffuses this kind of stuff. I just made a joke that, okay, I'll take that sample off-white green Air Force One as compensation. And they were super cool about it and played along. And even in DMs, they, you know, talked to me and offered to send me a t-shirt and stuff. So thank you, Private Selection. So, of course, you know, I don't want to be ripped off, but to have any tweet be funny enough to be reposted and stolen is kind of flattering. And most of them did keep my ad in there. And, you know, maybe they didn't tag me on Instagram, but that's because I'm mostly known on Twitter. But whatever, you know, they saw that it was my joke. And as people were, you know, kind of seeing the other stuff late and still tagging them and tagging me about it, you know, I just responded finally that, you know, I'm okay with this. I'm on this app every day writing jokes. You know, some are Simpsons references, some are Seinfeld references, others are just, you know, dated references. Usually they're absurd or they're just memes. A couple times a year, one or two hits and spreads a bit, you know, but within this kind of sneaker Twitter circle, you know, mix in some thoughts and commentary once in a while, and that's basically my entire Twitter presence. But, you know, my thought was this, is I can write this joke any day. I can write them today, tomorrow, keep going. It's been, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 years on this account. I'm not out here copy-pasting and recreating someone else's joke. I'm just writing new stuff the next day. So the lesson here on this whole sidebar is to basically, you know, use humor to diffuse. Go create something, be consistent at it, and most of all, be authentic and true to yourself. And, you know, don't go on Instagram and start recreating someone's tweet. If you got nothing funny to say, then just shut the fuck up. Okay, to get back to it, I just want to recap the kind of timeline of events. You know, we'll get back to analyzing Nike and what they said. But first, there was the StockX statement came basically the next day, and their official statement said, "We take customer protection extremely seriously, and we've invested millions to fight the proliferation of counterfeit products that every marketplace faces today. Nike's latest filing is not only baseless, but is also curious given that their own brand protection team has communicated confidence in our authentication program, and that hundreds of Nike employees," and then a little sidebar, "including current senior executives, use StockX to buy and sell products." They go on to say that this tactic amounts to nothing more than a panicked and desperate attempt to resuscitate their losing legal case against their Vault NFT program. Nike's challenge has no merit and clearly demonstrates their lack of understanding of the modern marketplace, end quote. StockX has got receipts. They literally have receipts. They literally know who's buying on their site and who's selling on their site. And obviously they can match up names to LinkedIn profiles, to Nike executives, all that kind of stuff. You know, is that a violation of privacy policy? I don't know. Maybe something in the small print says that in court cases, they're allowed to do this kind of stuff. I'm sure lawyers reviewed and approved any of these kind of statements. They didn't exactly name names. They did say they, you know, employees both buy and sell. So saying a bunch of employees buy on StockX is normal. But it was a shot. It was a shot saying, if you want to go to discovery phase, we'll also detail this out in discovery phase. So I will talk about that a little bit later as well, too. And the same with the actually with the Nike's brand protection team, saying that that Nike has communicated confidence in StockX's auth program in the past. So they're basically saying, again, if you want to go to discovery, we got these screenshots of, you know, emails that we can show to the judge where your executives are saying StockX authentication program is great. Sneaker Legal on Instagram had also posted a screenshot from a recent court filing saying that previously parties were discussing a settlement conference. So something must have taken a left turn and it got to Nike adding this stuff. Then really around at the same time, this kind of StockX promo push notification email went out that there's this now a flat $4.95 processing fees for purchase. And I'm sure that, you know, that promo was successful. It's especially for higher value items where this processing fee is usually 1% and not a flat rate. So if you were going to buy something expensive, you only had to pay $4.95 rather than 3% of the total cost or whatever it is. But, you know, they know what they're doing there. Finally, you know, out of nowhere that day, Wingstop posted a tweet about their custom Wingstop, you know, to buy shoe surgeon lemon pepper ones. And it was a video of someone kind of constructing a shoe that looks exactly like a Jordan 1 that even has a swoosh. And the commercial shows them basically stitching panels together. You know, it's unclear if they're just deconstructed authentic shoes that they're reconstructing in or if they just made their template and they're making their own. And the timing of this is all pretty hilarious, too. Maybe they planned to do this all along, and it just so happened with the StockX Nike thing the day before. Or they saw what was happening and decided to push up the video. People in my replies seem to think that Shoe Surgeon is on good terms with Nike, and Nike has always avoided going after Shoe Surgeon because even on his site, he has text on there that he's selling a service of customizing sneakers, and the high price includes a sourcing fee of finding the authentic, the Jordan 1 that will be used as the base of the shoe. However, I do want to make a reminder of what I said in the last podcast episode that in that La La Land case where Nike settled with there, one of the shoes in there that said that La La Land can no longer produce is an Air Jordan 1 Mars Yard shoe. And Shoe Surgeon made the exact same shoe in 2018. But I don't think Shoe Surgeon was actually named in that lawsuit or that, you know, that settlement. But I don't know. And I also don't know if he was making those ones at La La Land or someone is ripping him off. But I'm sure Nike does. And these shoes, you know, like I said on Twitter, grand opening, grand closing. These are most likely not going to release unless they're already all made and they're ready to go. If they were smart, they would release them basically this week as soon as they can before lawyers can kind of come together and create any kind of cease and desist. Because, you know, as reported by me, Nike previously killed those Wawa and CCS customs that they had, allegedly. I don't know, but, you know, you just never hear from them and their posts about them were deleted. And I speculated at the time that they did this all to strengthen their existing court cases. And at the time, those court cases might have been against Warren Lotus or La La Land or Geiger. Again, with this one, if I'm Geiger and I'm his lawyers, I'm submitting this as evidence that Nike is allowing this as its unsanctioned project that looks exactly like a Jordan 1 that has a swoosh, that basically Nike is allowing this project to continue. Like I said, I'm not a fan of lawsuits, but Warren Lotus's lawyers protect Warren Lotus and they pointed to Geiger. Geiger's lawyers, their only duty is to protect Geiger, and so they're going to do what they have to do. And if I was them, I'd be pointing to this, but, you know, I'm just a Twitter lawyer. So ultimately, even if the shoe surgeon has all those disclaimers on his site and whenever this Wingstop thing releases, if it's a contest or free giveaway or whatever disclaimers they have, it ultimately doesn't matter if the cease and desist comes in. You know, we'll get into the Nike analysis part, but first let's take some calls. I'm going to pretend this is a radio show. Michael from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Father Sock Jig, let's go!
I want to thank you, Michael. Thank you for the call. That was very informative. Yes, let's fucking go. Let's check calls again. Andrew from Boston, you're on the air.
All I'm going to say is the game is the game. Fuck StockX, though.
Thank you, Andrew. Great call. I couldn't say it better myself. In fact, I even put it on a sock. Let's take another call.
Hey, Sock. This is Boost Dad on Twitter. Your fellow old man sneakerhead here. Actually sitting here on my 43rd birthday. But I saw your post on Twitter and thought it would just be cool to send you an audio message and just reiterate what a big fan I am. As far as the Nike and StockX mess, not too much to say. It's not that surprising. There's always hustlers and scammers on every side of a deal from every angle. So people just got to always beware, but keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you, Boosted, for the call and the nice words and happy birthday. And anyone in 2022 that still reps Boost that hard, you know, has to love that shit. So it just totally makes sense that it would be a dad. So again, happy birthday and hope you had a great day. You know, we'll get back to calls a little bit later. And as I mentioned, I will be sprinkling them in throughout the show. The big question, of course, from these new allegations of counterfeit sneakers passing authentication is, how did Nike get fake sneakers from StockX? What was the process? You know, the question is, did they buy a ton of shoes on StockX for those 2 months and checked every single one, and out of hundreds and hundreds and only four were fake? Or did they list fake shoes themselves? You know, like our Nike employee Billy, he places the lowest ask on a fake sneaker that they have that, you know, maybe they got as part of their other investigations. And he asks his coworker Kenny to buy it. That way no one else is involved with this scheme. You know, if this is all in court and this is what they say, I assume Josh Luber will stand up and say, "Your Honor, this is entrapment. I know my rights." You know, even though Josh Luber no longer works there. Anyways, this is all unknown, unknown unknown, if you will. No one knows what Nike did or how they did to get those sneakers. But they probably knew to target a patent one. Those are highly faked sneakers right now, like the Travis one mentioned in the cold open, or Mocha ones, and, you know, other high value ones like that. If I'm a judge, I'm asking Nike to provide this info. You know, we can talk a little bit about how each company treats fakes itself. You know, Nike is questioning StockX's 100% verified authentic service. You know, if Billy from Nike actually submitted to customer service that he got a fake, StockX customer service would just tell him to sell it back on the platform and that, hey, they might be fake, but they already passed authentication, so you'll be all good to go. But what I really want to talk about is StockX and all these apps all have their own version of shrink. That's a retail term. In retail, shrink means the percentage of inventory that is lost, stolen, or damaged. That just disappears. It's gone. You know, if you're a Foot Locker, there's a certain percentage of shrink that you just know is going to disappear in the back room. If you're StockX or GOAT or Fight Club or whoever, I'm sure the same number exists. Something comes in, it disappears in between, you know, when it got marked as delivered and before it got shipped out to the customer. So they already have their version of shrink, I'm pretty sure. And I'm assuming that fake pairs just go into that. Of course, the goal is always to reduce the number, your shrink number, as low as possible. But these apps, they got to know that it's impossible to have zero fakes go through. Nike probably knows that it's impossible to have zero fakes go through. The number that Nike got of 2 in 4 months, it's hard to judge to without knowing any more information. If they got 200 sneakers and only 4 were fake, you know, that is low. If they got 1,000 sneakers and only 4 were fake, that's low too. But like I said, they probably targeted sneakers that they already know are highly faked already. You know, like I wouldn't buy Mocha ones or patent bred ones or even Union ones, something high value like that. But StockX also has had a fake issue with other items like Vlone and Essentials. Those two clothing items are highly faked at the moment. And a lot of those are also being shopped around to consignment stores by either people on Instagram or WhatsApp or whoever that, wherever that network is. And you will see on certain items, you know, there's too many essentials items to find in examples, but all the data is out there. You can start seeing when something hits the market and starts passing authentication. This is like fake blown or fake essentials that I'm talking about. And it's not going to be, you know, the essentials that just released. It's going to be the ones that's, you know, 5-6 months old. But you will see the on the StockX chart, there's all of a sudden a ton of sales, a ton of volume, and the price has dropped because people are taking up bids. That could be called the money jig drop. In terms of how Nike treats fakes, this could be its own topic. And like I said, I'm not going to dive too much into this, but, you know, fakes are so good, and it's always said that they're made in the same factory or something like that, and there's questions about this. Do they outright own these factories, or do they just deal with local owners? In Nike in Canada, Nike doesn't own any of the stores here in Canada. They're licensed out to a single exclusive owner that acts as Nike. So I don't know if the same thing happens with whatever factory in China or in Taiwan or wherever. But it would be great if they could, you know, put this energy towards those real counterfeiters. I know they do, and I know a lot of that is not always visible. It'd be great if there was more visible. But whatever the case, you know, Nike has to get their own house in order. Well, back to StockX for a sec. What I wanted to talk about is how you view this story and how you view StockX really depends on who you are. If you are a customer, my sense is that the most average customers actually love StockX. What I'm talking about here, these are actually, you know, just regular sneakerheads or just regular people who have chosen to pay resale. They go to the site, they're like, okay, I'm going to pay for the shoe over retail. There are so many sales on there every day for hundreds of 350s and Pandas and of people just not tweeting about it, and they're just not vocal about it. So there are tons of customers that you don't hear about every day. Of course, there are people who have had issues with StockX, customers that is, and most of the times this is sneakerheads. And I would bet that most of their experiences with the app are good. Most of the purchases have been good. Maybe there's been a couple bad ones. Maybe, you know, they bought something and the box was damaged or not as described. And then they had issues with customer experience trying to get their money back or a refund or whatever. But overall, I've said this before, the people trust GOAT more than they do StockX. And this is the number one reason why prices are higher on GOAT than on StockX and why buyers are willing to spend more on GOAT. You know, I myself have said that I mostly buy on GOAT and because I just inherently trust them and their authentication process a bit more. You know, I've sold on both, but I mostly sell on GOAT. And, you know, there are some models that I just don't trust at all. Once the time passes, I move on. Like I mentioned, the Mocha one, the Travis one, the Patton one, you know, these early yellow toe with the black Nike Air label instead of the white label. There's all kinds of shoes that you see every day if you're just, you know, on in sneaker Twitter, on sneaker Instagram, of what's being out there, what's being faked more heavily. But on the other side, the reseller side, there are resellers who both love and hate StockX. But there's a category of reseller here. You know, a quick breakdown of this, I won't go too deep into this. The casual reseller, this is just a regular sneakerhead. Maybe they won a raffle on a shoe that they don't want. They got through bot protection and all that kind of stuff. And it flips. They don't want it. They sell it. Easy. Funds the next shoe. I would wager that most of those people actually love StockX because it's easy. Next up is the Mickey Mouse reseller. These are people who, of course, love StockX. They love bids. And often people who just want their money back, even if it's for a loss, you know. Buy high, sell for less than pay. Next category, probably the more advanced reseller. This is usually the group that hates StockX the most, where they know enough that, you know, they want to get as much money out of it as they can. These might not be professional resellers, but they could be, you know, semi-pro or just knowledgeable enough. You know, I would probably put myself in here. These are the people who know that prices are higher on GOAT, or, you know, they can say get more on Stadium Goods or get more from their local consignment shop. But they know that those two other options are a lot more effort than they are on, say, GOAT or StockX. Next up, full-timers. These are the ones who will use anything and everything to sell a shoe. I'd probably categorize retailers in this one because they would sell on StockX too. And I would argue that most of these full-timers actually love StockX. They love having that option on there. Even if it's not their primary choice, they need that to have that base. Then finally, the S tier. These are the ultra full-timer, the people who have warehouses, the consignment stores. These people, I would also argue, love having that option, just like the full-timers do. But ultimately, you know, there might be people in all those categories that say they hate StockX as a reseller, but a bid is a bid is a bid. If it's there, you're taking it. But back to the main kind of category I had of how people view StockX. First, we had the consumers, the customers, then we had resellers. I also wanted to add people who hate resell and hate resellers. Of course, these people are not going to like StockX. They actually blame StockX for everything. I'm sure you saw in this last week viral tweets about this kind of stuff, preying on the downfall of resell. You know, people really hate resellers out there. There was a tweet a couple weeks ago, some guy whose house was robbed. He was, you know, some consignment store guy. And he was like, he had pictures of all his sneakers and stuff that were stolen. But he was really worried about his puppies that were stolen. He's like, I need these puppies back. And people in the replies were like, good, you deserve it. Fuck you and your dogs. It's like, if you have lost your humanity over resell and even puppies aren't going to do it for you, you've kind of gone a bit too far there, buddy. Yeah, I'll talk about the fall of resell and stuff a little bit later, but overall, everyone just likes to dunk on StockX. It's an easy company to dunk on. They fucked up a lot of shit, but, you know, everyone just kind of ignores the parts that they have done really well. You know, their UI is really good. You can easily see the market price. You can get shoes for under retail, and just how simple it is to have a shoe, sell a shoe, get your money. You know, people don't really remember what it was like before StockX and the apps. The only way to really know the market price back then was either eBay or, you know, look at the Flight Club price and take, say, 20-25% off. Or, of course, you know, Facebook groups where, you know, the big ones are like Band LA and MSX, and having to deal with Facebook groups and all the politics and stuff in there is its own kind of, you know, tangle of worms. But even then, you know, except with Fight Club back in the day, Facebook groups and eBay, you had to deal with the potential of items being fake and the stress of someone shipping. Ultimately, I would rather send my money to StockX or Goat to buy a shoe that I could believe it than I would to send my money to a guy named Absalom I met on Facebook and hope he ships. Spoiler alert, he's not gonna. But with all that said, if you hate StockX, I can't really blame you. You probably have very good reasons to. You know, you could have heard me out on that whole segment, but at the end, if you hate StockX, I'm not gonna disagree with you. Looks like we have time for another call. Bucci from Chicago, you're on the air. What do you got to say?
What up, Sock? It's your boy, Big Bucci, repping Showers Gang. You already know what it is. Just want to give a shout out to that CockX authenticator that clipped our boy Kencho's account for putting a used condom in a pair that he sent in. So shout out Kencho and shout out the authenticator that literally touched our boy's nut. Showers Gang, let's get it.
Thank you, Bucci, for the call there. Shout out Showers Gang, that's the name of our group chat. That story is there was a member of a group chat. He sold a pair of shoes on StockX, and StockX said they were denied, that there was something toxic in there, and basically that there was a used condom in the shoes that he had sold. Our buddy, of course, denies that he sent that, but, you know, we always bug him that we don't really know. So his account was closed. They sent it back. You know, he was basically banned after that. So a story like that, if you're a seller, you're like, I didn't do that. Someone at StockX did that. If you're a buyer, you're like, I'm thankful I did not get a used condom in the pair of shoes that I bought. Okay, to kind of, you know, wrap this all up, my thoughts on this whole mess. You know, my first thoughts were that this is just Nike trying to shut down StockX doing this NFT stuff. And that was the real goal. So they're cramming in as many complaints as they can. You know, I said I don't think Nike would want to take down StockX as a sneaker resale platform. And that's because StockX generates hype for them daily. That was a tweet I first sent out. And, you know, it still kind of holds. I think my first instincts were still pretty much on point. But as I was thinking about this, I was like, why did Nike add this counterfeit stuff? Basically, my guess is they added that counterfeit claim to force a settlement so that they can, you know, force the court to think that, hey, the stuff that they actually have in the vault could be suspect as well. And that is what they really want. That was a strategic move by the lawyers, both legally and I guess PR wise as well. And what I mean by that is Nike probably bet that StockX doesn't want to go to discovery. Discovery, as I mentioned in the last episode, is when you have to hand over everything you know and everything you've done about the particular subject, all your emails, your phone calls, documents, the actual items, things like that. So Nike is then betting that StockX does not want to expose their whole proprietary authentication process to court. You know, imagine StockX handing over every document and that they have about authentication, how they authenticate. They wouldn't want to do that, and lawyers know they wouldn't want to do that. So Nike wants to pressure them to avoid discovery. But really, what that means is if the real purpose is to win and own this NFT space, that, you know, get the StockX NFT program out of the way, this just shows how seriously Nike takes this whole NFT stuff. That, you know, even though right now it seems like, you know, something's got to be valued at 9K, 10K to get, and it's right now from the outside, it looks like a rich get richer type of thing. There's so much potential for it. Everyone sees the potential for it of what can be done and what can be done in the future, not just what's happening right now. But I'm glad StockX is pushing back. I'm glad they're like, well, if you want to go to discovery, we can also talk about this in discovery. We can talk about your executives and people who sell on our platform. I've said on the record that I don't think this lawsuit by Nike and versus StockX when this first came out was a good idea. Back then, I thought StockX could win. And like, really, is there market confusion right now among NFT nerds? These nerds know everything about this space because they got $10,000 on the line for a single JPEG. When you have that much money in a bunch of JPEGs, you know all there is to know about that space. You're not just doing it casually. So someone with a monolith NFT knows all about these, you know, hypoallergenic Bob Sacramento skin virus Genesis shoes that look like Road Warrior Hawk versus these, you know, dinky StockX NFTs that aren't even on OpenSea. So for the people in that artifact space, there's no confusion, but this is not about them. This is about your average ding-dong person who's not into NFTs being confused and wanting that ding-dong to be fully into the artifact version of it and not go to this StockX version. You know, one thing to remember, companies are big. Lawyers can say something. They are saying things because they know that's how to say it in, you know, law terms, in what a judge wants to hear. One thing to remember, lawyers can say basically anything they want in these claims. It doesn't mean that it's true. But I really think that this whole thing could backfire on Nike. I'll have more to say on that, but first, let's take some more fake calls on this subject. Huntsville, Alabama, you're on the air.
Yo, it's Kari, a.k.a. Sneaker Fetish. I wanted to make sure I tapped in real quick just so that people understood that at the end of the day, we can't lose the focus on the NFT because that's really what this is about, is the NFT. This fake sneaker thing, honestly, is just a little bit of razzle-dazzle that they're sprinkling on top of this case about the NFTs and about Artifact and about the money that they spent on that company. This is a great way to get people talking that weren't initially talking about the NFTs because they didn't understand it, because they thought it was boring. But what's not boring is the headline, StockX is selling fake sneakers. That not only loses the credibility that StockX has out here, but it also gets a lot of people talking and it helps them lose a lot of business. But make no mistake about it, this is about those NFTs and this is about money.
Oh, we got Kari in a big spot. All of a sudden, I've turned into Mike Francesa. That's a fair point, dog. That's a fair point. Thank you, Kari, for calling in with your message. And I'm sure Kari will have a video on the same subject on his YouTube at Sneaker Fetish and on Twitter as well. London, England, you're next.
Little Sock Jig, first time caller. I honestly think this Nike versus StockX thing is just stupid. It's a waste of time. I mean, I don't know what Nike's plan is to do, but you can't, you know, just shut down StockX. StockX indirectly helps your business. This is the main reason why a lot of people in 2020, in these past few years, they got into reselling, because they mostly saw the prices on StockX and then just bought them off from Nike. I mean, a lot of people just buy shoes from Nike and it helps them. I mean, I've never heard of Nike like rejecting money. I mean, that's impossible. So yeah, I mean, even if they can like get a lawsuit or something, put bad publicity, all publicity is good publicity. So StockX in the end is going to win because people are still going to buy from their platform. It's not like they're going to shut down just because of this lawsuit. So thanks.
That was Armando from Twitter. I'd like to thank you for the call. And it kind of leads to what I wanted to talk about next is there's kind of a what if exercise I wanted to go through and kind of what could happen, what is the likely outcome, and then finally the most plausible outcome that I see going forward. My sense is that this could backfire on Nike, PR-wise at least. You know, what if this lawsuit goes to discovery? What comes out? We talked about the StockX authentication stuff could come out. You know, StockX is spilling the beans. They could be talking about executives that are selling on there, retailers that are selling on there. You know, they could cause a lot of damage. Does Nike really want to open this can of worms? You know, StockX could also unveil a lot of the conspiracy theory stuff that we talked about in a previous episode. So just from the shots that they're taking at each other, it seems like they just want to make sure that both parties know that it could get ugly. So next one, what if Nike wins outright and StockX can't sell any Nike product anymore? First question, could StockX survive without being able to sell Nike or Jordans? Can they survive on just 350s and, you know, Lego and COS puzzles alone? I don't know. It's going to be pretty tough if GOAT's got every single, you know, sneaker that you want. Let's say Nike occupies 80% of the sneakerhead space for coveted sneakers. That's a lot of sneakers. I'll cover that in the next one. But for this one, it's like, does Nike really want this? You know, ultimately, as I alluded to earlier, Nike doesn't most likely want to kill a platform. StockX is a cog in a hype machine. StockX is an engine of hype. And I've said before, the consumers are the drivers. It's not Nike. Consumers are the ones that ultimately control demand and generate demand for what shoe is nice. Nike, in this, you know, pain metaphor, I guess, is the car manufacturer. They're the ones that make the cars. They can make nice shoes, they can make shitty shoes, but people will buy the ones that they want. You know, even fakes are a cog ultimately in this kind of hype machine that fuel demand for the actual authentic product. You know, this hype machine stuff I've covered a lot before, so I'm not going to too deep dive into it. But I wanted to touch on it that it isn't where it is a thing. Nike execs have a KPI column in their spreadsheet for the StockX price to see to measure the success of their product. So are they just going to rename that column in the spreadsheet to GOAT instead of StockX? Maybe. But back to the other one I alluded to. What if StockX goes under? They can't sell any more Nike product. What happens if StockX is no more? You know, first off, it'll be good for the competition. You know, more sales on eBay, GOAT, Stadium Goods. And people will start exploring Tradeblock and I guess go back to Facebook groups even more. But ultimately, as I said kind of on Twitter as well, I think this is bad for consumers. And that's why I wanted to separate this from like how StockX is viewed. And I'm just looking at this at an economics level that more buying options ultimately means lower price in the marketplace. So if you know, take away a marketplace from the marketplace, it ultimately leads to fewer options. And we already saw that prices are higher on GOAT. So that is ultimately bad for consumers, you know, and it's bad for the resellers that I talked about, the casual ones, the Mickey Mouse ones, and I guess some advanced ones. The people who know what they're doing, the retailers, the S-tier advanced, the IG resellers, they're going to be fine. They know how to move product. But overall, you know, StockX closing would not hurt resale. Resale can't die. StockX closing wouldn't hurt Nike's bottom line either. Those shoes sell either way. But, you know, is Nike prepared to deal with the PR that comes with this? You know, like I said, they're the viral tweets of people who want the downfall of resale. It's going to be like, thanks, Nike, for killing resale. Can I have my Chicago ones now for retail? Billy from Nike is going to be like, no, you can't. You know, this is just a thought experiment, thought exercise. Ultimately, I don't think it's going anywhere. But, you know, the pro side, if StockX did leave, I guess we wouldn't have any more people who say, you know, it's cheaper on StockX. That leads to the two most plausible outcomes. What if Nike wins the settlement, but it's only about the NFTs and StockX can continue to operate everything else, but they have to shut down their Vault NFT program? You know, does that hurt casual sneakerheads? No, because they don't really care about Vault NFTs for the most part anyways. But if there's a settlement and it's only for the NFTs parts, then it just showed that Nike only really cared about the NFT stuff and not about the fakes at all. So this could be bad PR for Nike that they talked a big game about being dismayed that there's fakes on the platform, but ultimately they were a pushover. They did not really care about that. They did nothing about it because selling JPEGs of shoes that look like Bowser's Castle was way more important to them. But what happens with this? You know, some people get some tweets off, IFR some tweets off about this, I get a few likes on it, and is long forgotten by next week because, you know, some Jordan is coming out again. This to me ultimately sounds like the most plausible future that we have for this. There's a storm for a while, Nike weathers a storm, doesn't say anything about it, new shoes are released, the hype is back on. The other plausible outcome, Nike loses the lawsuit. StockX can continue doing their NFT vault shit. Nike can continue doing their artifact, Shoryuken NFT shit. Ultimately, in the eyes of consumers, Nike ends up looking good because they tried fighting for fakes, but they ultimately lost. If Nike loses this case, there's really not that much bad PR, you know, in the sneakerhead world. Maybe there is in the NFT world among, you know, a bunch of monkey avatars and for whatever their future is. But right now, that's all unknown. They haven't specified that future. Right now, all we got is, you know, Sega Genesis Bob Sacamano NFTs. So there you have it. Those are the two plausible outcomes that I see. For me personally, I think Nike should lose this lawsuit. You know, the next day announced that Chicago OGs are coming back and everyone's going to forget about it. This has been episode 32 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. Thank you for listening. And actually, hold on, cut my music one sec. I forgot one thing I wanted to talk about. I was looking through this 73-page lawsuit document and I found something buried in there that I just forgot to mention. You know, it's pretty crazy that everyone missed this, but I think it's a huge detail. It's right here, page 15, article 4, paragraph 1. It says that henceforth and for the purposes of this counterclaim going forward, you should go fuck yourself.